always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Senate lawmakers worked into the morning hours to pass a standalone foreign aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. The House, though, voted down an earlier measure that included U.S. border security funding, and it's unclear if House Speaker Mike Johnson will take up a vote. Senate Leader Chuck Schumer says more Republicans support it than not.
I am confident there are many Republicans in his caucus. I know I've spoken to a whole bunch of them who feel strongly we ought to pass this bill. And I will urge Speaker Johnson to step up to the moment and do the right thing.
In Wichita, Kansas, authorities this hour announced an arrest in connection with the Jackie Robinson statue stolen last month from a Little League park and later destroyed. Police say they are still looking for more suspects. Overall inflation continues to cool compared to a year ago, but the consumer price index was up 0.3% in January compared to December. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin lawmakers are scrambling to pass several bills before wrapping up work for the session. The Assembly and Senate are both holding floor sessions today with long agendas. Lawmakers are voting on a $2 billion Republican tax cut similar to two proposals Governor Evers vetoed last year. Local election officials in Wisconsin are preparing for safe and secure voting this year, but some say the state could do more to meet the growing demand for absentee and early voting.
The funding that we receive from the state and from the federal government hasn't increased to accommodate any of that.
Meredith Witzel-Bale is the city clerk in Madison. Advocates say it would take $53 billion to modernize the election system across the country. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Due to a lack of snowfall and warm weather in the area, the Slumberland American Birkbeiner Ski Race has been forced to make changes to the course. According to the organizers of the race, the course will be reduced to a 10-kilometer loop that racers will have to make five trips around. Racers will also not be allowed to warm up or test their wax before the events due to the lack of snow. Organizers also noted that they are still looking for volunteers to help with the race, and anybody interested can sign up on their website. Another local Duluth business is planning to shut its doors for good at the end of the month. According to a Facebook post from the owner, the Ripple Bar, located in the Canal Park area, has announced that it will be closing at the end of February after 6 years in operation. The Facebook post did not specify the reasons that led to the closure, and it announced that a new business would be opening up in the space. The post did not share what the business taking over the space would be, nor when it could open. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Matt Nair on air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my bird.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks with another win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 112-95 win over the Denver Nuggets. Giannis with 36 points to lead Milwaukee. The Bucks improving their defense. It's the first time this season they've held opponents to under 100 points in back-to-back games. Doc Rivers.
Just steady progress, believing in your D, trusting it, clarifying it. Don Shula, you know, if you ever read his book, he always talked about the fastest player is the one that doesn't have to think. And the more we can get our guys to know exactly what we're doing, they can play at full speed. Simplify so we can play with fire.
Baseball pitchers and catchers report tomorrow. The Brewers' new manager, Pat Murphy, talked about a roster without pitchers like Corbin Burns or Brandon Woodruff.
We're kidding ourselves to think that this thing's going to be decided on paper because we lost Burns and Woodruff. And, you know, it's getting the guys to understand that, you know, if you want to make it happen, it starts with you.
That's the Brewers' new manager, Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. More clouds than sun today and a touch cooler as high temperatures only climb to the low 30s. We'll stay stuck under mostly cloudy skies tomorrow as highs spike to near 40. You'll love the warmth for Valentine's Day, but if you have late night plans, keep in mind snow moves in at night. It's 26 degrees at our studios.
Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
On the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer, the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is Fat Tuesday. Little Louis Armstrong is fantastic. A little bit more. I mean, you can't get more Mardi Gras than Louis Armstrong, right?
You'd be pretty hard-pressed.
Absolutely. Welcome in. It is Mardi Gras here, Fat Tuesday. Well, the last day of Mardi Gras, actually, Fat Tuesday. Tomorrow is Ash Wednesday. So, today means excessive eating, excessive drinking, and debauchery. Also, the description of the Republican National Convention. And with that, we welcome in our friend Trigby Olson, the senior advisor to the Lincoln Day Projects. First of all, he usually joins us on Wednesday, but he has accommodated his very busy schedule to join us this week on a Tuesday. Trigby, thanks for taking the time to join us here on a Tuesday. Welcome in and happy Mardi Gras, happy Fat Tuesday to you, my friend.
Thanks. Happy Fat Tuesday to you guys as well.
We're high atop. Well,
thanks for accommodating me. I'll be on an airplane to Las Vegas.
We're high atop State Street here. And, if the windows only opened, I could throw these beads out. It'd be a lot of fun. But sadly, the windows are steeled shut. Anyway, a shout out to our listeners over in Pulaski, just kind of west of Green Bay, east of Shawano. And, of course, I'm going to mispronounce this. I believe it's Sharawa's Country Bakery in Pulaski. They have Puchki Day, which here is one of the fantastic foods of Fat Tuesday. And I'm sorry, Trink, that you're not here, because I brought a couple of these in for Mr. Zommers and I. A little raspberry, right?
That looks outstanding.
We'll get you one next time you're here. But yeah, I mean, you can't. One of the great things about Wisconsin is the diversity of our heritage. And over there in Pulaski, Polish heritage and Puchki Day over there, they're fantastic. One of the great parts about Wisconsin and Fat Tuesday. So there you go.
The diversity of Wisconsin is one of the cool things about Wisconsin.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? Okay, Todd, so this is my question for you.
Give it to me.
It's about old fashions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know how old fashioned the drink.
Yeah. It,
mm-hmm. They're back.
Yeah, right? Yes.
But
did they ever really leave? But go ahead.
Well, not at supper clubs so much. But I was thinking about this. I was out in Salt Lake City, Utah, where you can only have one beer in front of you at a time, which is nuts. But I got thinking, when I was a kid, my grandparents used to drink old fashions, but they always made them with brandy, I think. Not rye whiskey.
No, it's brandy old
now
fashioned.
Now all of them are with whiskey. Brandy old fashioned, yeah.
Well, I mean, outside so Wisconsin,
what
sure.
What gives? What gives?
It's a Wisconsin
thing. Is that
thing.
A Wisconsin-only thing?
100%. I was just out in Colorado and went with my friend Joe, and we went to a bar and got an old-fashioned, and she said, I forget what she was anyway, asking the question of liquor, and I said, do you have Corbel? And she looked at me like I was asking for,
yes.
You know, I mean, like I was from Mars. And she goes,
yeah,
what?
That is a Wisconsin thing, and also... Another Wisconsin aspect of old fashions is that they often have an extra mixer in them, like Sprite or something. Mm. And old fashions elsewhere are usually just liquor.
Right. Yeah.
Interesting. I had not, you know, I went up and I ordered a brandy old fashioned, and the guy in Utah looked at me like, no, he's like, you can have rye whiskey or bourbon.
He wouldn't even make it for you with brandy.
No.
Wow.
He's like, you don't make, it's not an old fashioned with brandy. I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, then can you make me a drink that has some muddled right. cherries and sugar and brandy and bitters?
And an orange?
And an orange?
Right. That's what I should say. Exactly.
Well, that's fantastic. You're traveling. And again, I appreciate you coming in on a Tuesday here. So, well, did you ever get a drink then?
Yeah, I just ended up having a whiskey old fashioned, which was marginal.
At best.
I switched to Miller Lite. I know that will be shocking, but that is what I switched.
Chris,
and I'm pretty sure when I get to Vegas, I don't know what we'll be drinking there, but it's all my buddies from River Falls. We're all meeting up.
Well, very good. That's fantastic. Chris, listening in on WMDX here in Madison, says old fashions in other states are not old fashions. It is a Wisconsin.
Exactly.
It is a Wisconsin
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
Well, lots of news to get to besides what we're drinking and Fat Tuesday, which is important in and of itself, Trigvy. But, you know, you think that some of these folks out in Washington, D.C. were drinking themselves, and I'm sure several are. We have not talked about it a lot on our show, either with you or otherwise. I'm not a fan of Tucker Carlson. I think he's a sellout on several different levels. And, of course, Fox got rid of him over all this lies he told over the Dominion voting machines, the 2020 elections, and other things. So now he went on and partnered with Elon Musk, and he has his own little Twitter show over on the Twitter. And he decided it'd be really cool. He'd get a lot of PR, and he actually kind of did, if he went over and interviewed the dictator, Vladimir Putin, over in Moscow. Now, Putin made him sit there for 2 hours, and this was on camera, sit there for 2 hours to kind of show who, you know, who has the chutzpah in the room. And he finally, you know, and it was just basically it was a propaganda piece, right, Trigvy?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a propaganda piece, but the scary part about it was, as Putin does often for people who pay attention, which fortunately most people don't have to pay attention to what Vladimir Putin's rambling on about, he walked through his version of history. It took him about 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just based on grievance of lands lost by Russian and Russia and his desire to really rebuild an empire. And to understand, you know, how unhinged Putin's version of history is, you know, he doesn't believe that the execution of the selling of Alaska to the United States was done in a way that Russia doesn't have claims to Alaska. Let alone Lithuania and Poland and
Latvia.
It was really reminiscent. Honestly, I listened to the whole thing because that used to be part of my daily life. What struck me is history has a way of not repeating itself, but mirroring itself to a degree. And it was very reminiscent. Quite frankly, I read a lot of history of World War II. It's reminiscent of what Adolf Hitler was saying about Poland and Czech Republic and Czech, the Sudan lands. And he is really trying to re-adjudicate the end of the Cold War. And it's a very dangerous thing. And it's absolutely outrageous that someone like Tucker Carlson would go and give him a platform to do it.
For those who might not listen to us on a regular basis or who join us on Wednesday, and Trygve Olsen is here today, like myself, Trygve was a part of the Republican Party here in the United States. Like myself, he has left the Republican Party. Unlike myself, he went on to work for pretty big names in the Republican Party, like Mitch McConnell and John McCain. You spent a lot of time in Eastern Europe. You're the only person that I know personally who has been banned from Russia by Vladimir Putin for trying to spread democracy in Eastern Europe and other places. So you're not somebody who's just coming on here as a talking head. You've actually lived there. You've done it. You've gone up against it. You know what you're talking about. Tucker Carlson came back and he started talking smart and started promoting Russia. Surprise, surprise. Here's what Tucker Carlson said this week about Moscow and Russia after he'd interviewed, quote unquote, Vladimir Putin.
Simply the leader of the country, who of course is impressive. It's the largest landmass in the world. And it's wildly diverse, linguistically, culturally, religiously. It's hard to run a country like that for 24 years, whether you like it or not. So an incapable person couldn't do that. He is very capable, and many of you know him, and you know that. What was radicalizing, very shocking, and very disturbing for me was the city of Moscow, where I'd never been, the biggest city in Europe, 13 million people. And it is so much nicer than any city in my country. I had no idea. My father spent a lot of time there in the 80s when he worked for the U.S. government and barely had electricity. And now it is so much cleaner and safer and prettier aesthetically. It's architecture, it's food, it's service than any country, city in the United States that you have to, and this is non-ideological. How did that happen? How did that happen? And at a certain point, I don't think the average person cares as much about abstractions as about the concrete reality of his life. And if you can't use your subway, for example, as many people are afraid to in New York City because it's too dangerous, you have to sort of wonder, like, isn't that the ultimate measure of...
That was Tucker Carlson, cut off there at the end. But there was Tucker Carlson talking about his trip to Russia, Moscow, after interviewing Putin. Trygve Olsen, what do you make of that?
It's been a long time since I've been in Moscow. 2005, I got banned in 2006. It's utter nonsense. I mean, it's just BS. And what I would say is, I mean, better than any city in the United States. It wasn't for my friend, my dear friend Boris Nemtsov, who was the leader of the Democratic opposition, who was gunned down half a mile from the Kremlin. I mean, Tucker Carlson's father, I believe, spent time there with State Department back in the 80s. I suspect Tucker Carlson's father, if he were alive, would be incredibly disappointed with what Tucker Carlson is doing. He literally is amplifying disinformation. And honestly, at the end of the day, the people that are watching Tucker Carlson, he's constantly playing you as a fool. And he was fired from Fox because his lies cost Fox $850 million for lying about the election. Yeah, it's really sad.
It is. I've never been to Moscow, of course, but you have. And I don't know, for my money, when he says more beautiful than any city in the United States, better food, you know, I just spent some time again this weekend in Milwaukee. You look up and you see some of the spectacular German architecture in downtown Milwaukee, and holy cow, you know, I'll put up the restaurants in Milwaukee against Moscow any day of the week. I'm not sure. Yeah. Have you been to both, Trygve? What say you?
I mean, there are plenty of American cities that would be equal to or greater than Moscow, and plenty of European cities, too.
What does Ron Johnson, Republican U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, say about all this? Does he believe in American exceptionalism and our military and freedom and democracy? We'll have his cut on the other side.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It's Black History Month, and civic media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 20 past the hour of 12 noon for a fat Tuesday, February 13th, 2024. Glad to have Trigby Olson making a special appearance on a Tuesday rather than his normal Wednesday slot. He's traveling and very graciously decided to come in today to make sure we get in on our weekly visit. Trigby Olson, like myself, a former Republican and now as a senior advisor with the Lincoln Project, among his many other duties, and fighting for democracy around the world. Trigby, always great to have you here. Talking a little bit before the break there about Tucker Carlson going to Moscow, interviewing Putin, largely a propaganda piece. But there's one individual who thought it was a great interview, thought it was substantive. Someone who himself has been to Moscow. In fact, not so long ago, was there on Independence Day for the United States, July 4th. Sitting incumbent U.S. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin was interviewed this week talking about this interview with Tucker Carlson and whether or not he believes that Ukraine or Russia will win in the war in Ukraine, of course, started without provocation by Russia. Here is what Ron Johnson said this week.
Our policy should be focused on how do we bring Vladimir Putin to the table. I think the Tucker interview was very interesting. Again, Putin's a war criminal. He's obviously not telling you the whole truth. He's certainly not talking about his atrocities in Ukraine. But an awful lot of what Vladimir Putin said was right. I mean, we're cutting off our nose to spite our face in some of these sanctions. The greatest threat to America in terms of debt and deficit is no longer being the world's reserve currency. Well, these sanctions are making that day come even sooner as Russia is beginning to figure out how to trade in things other than dollars, starting to trade in the Chinese currency. So listen very carefully to that Tucker interview. I mean, understand, take things with a grain of salt. But a lot of the points that Vladimir Putin made are accurate. They're obvious. And so many of our people here in Washington, D.C. are just ignoring that, making people believe like Ukraine can win. No, Ukraine can't. Putin won't lose. Putin will not lose. He's not going to lose. You have to factor that into the reality if you're going to deal with this thing effectively to bring this war to an end.
Trigby Olson, that was Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin saying Vladimir Putin will not lose. Let's see.
I think so. A few things. On the left, they talk a lot about Russian Ron because he was there on the 4th of July. I don't really find that so odd, to be honest, because, you know, Senate Codell's traveled to all kinds of places, including Russia, for the 4th of July. That said, Ron Johnson is just clueless in what he's saying in this statement. First of all, he gets going about Putin and reserve currency status when one of the foundations of our being the reserve currency is our NATO alliance, which will be called into question if we don't keep our word to Ukraine. And what I mean by that is Ukraine is not a part of NATO, but we've given our word, as have most of the NATO countries. It only will embolden Putin. I just think Ron Johnson, he's incredibly naive, but simultaneously, he's an arrogant know-it-all who you know, it really, if you look and watch Ron Johnson talk about anything, he's the guy in the bar that everybody just thinks is a jerk because he's Cliff Clavin.
From Cheers. Who knows, thinks he knows everything.
From Cheers.
My question, Trigvy. Is he naive? And I'm not trying to be funny about this. Is he naive or is he compromised? In other words, he inherited a lot of his wealth from his wife's company, but he is a business guy. I don't think he's an intellectual idiot. I say this in all sincerity. I mean, you look at guys like Lindsey Graham, who have been advocates of freedom and democracy, particularly around the world and in Europe. And last night, we've got the statement here. We might read it later. He puts out this statement of why he voted against Ukraine aid last night. And there's a guy, it just seems like he's been compromised. In your opinion, someone who's actually worked or is aware of people who have been compromised. And by that, I mean, Russians have something on them and they say, you're going to do this or we're going to out you on that. Do you think that Ron Johnson's compromised or not?
No, I just think he's a useful idiot, most likely.
Really?
I mean, they teach you when you're going to do this kinds of things, the most obvious answer is usually the right one. Oscom's razor. He's an a-hole.
Yeah.
I just think he's a useful idiot. What they exploit with Ron Johnson is his hubris and arrogance to think that because he's a successful businessman, mostly because he married the person he did, which if you think about Ron Johnson's first campaign, what was his narrative? That he's a successful businessman.
Right.
He is a successful businessman because his father-in-law was really good at business.
Right. Most people don't understand that.
He married into it. But
exactly.
That was not the narrative. Of course, that's not his story. Lindsey Graham, I spent a lot of time with McCain and Lindsey Graham in that part of the world. I cannot explain it. I just know if John were still around, I just wonder. I mean, I guess I tweeted this. I'm dumbfounded whether McCain would be, if McCain were around, would Lindsey Graham still be doing this or not?
Yeah.
You know, I would never say someone's compromised without knowing they're compromised, but there's no other way really to explain Lindsey Graham and how he approaches Russia or Donald Trump. And usually, there's just no way to explain it. Marco Rubio, I think, who has been doing the same thing. I just think like Ron Johnson, he's weak.
Right.
Foundationally.
Off the text line, Steve from Milwaukee listening in, texts in, says, thank you for finally talking about this. The dominoes on Russia are numerous. 844-967-2789. Let me check here. We're running up against the clock here just a little bit, so maybe we'll hold off. Steven.
I would just say one last thing. Yeah. You know, what Ron Johnson is advocating for, we've seen this in the past, and what it will eventually lead to is Vladimir Putin testing whether Donald Trump, and Donald Trump too, if he pulls us out of NATO. NATO doesn't exist. Eventually, Putin will test Europe and start trying to retrench places like the Baltic states. Others will fight, and eventually we will be poorer, and Americans will end up having to go and fight and storm beaches like they did at Normandy.
We've talked about this for a lot of yesterday's show, and we have about 45 seconds here, Trigvy. What do you make of a lot of the weekly talk shows burying this behind the quote-unquote Biden news that, you know, that his mental faculties are failing? Why did they bury Trump basically inviting Russia to attack NATO?
Because I think Trump has just normalized crazy, and Joe Biden ends up playing by a different set of rules. I really do. Now, I'm not saying that talking about Joe Biden's age and faculties isn't legitimate, but you can't compare the two in terms of their magnitude and historical consequences.
You also can't compare a talk with Trigvy Olsen. He joins us on a special Fat Tuesday edition. Back with more with Trigvy after this. Also, your calls, 844-967-2789. Call it now. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
Wisconsin's dairy industry leads the country in dairy margin coverage program enrollees with over 4,000 farms enrolled. In June and July of 2023, the DMC program's catastrophic coverage margin level of $4 per hundredweight was breached for the first two times since the program's beginnings. Without the lifeline of DMC payments, many farms have struggled to remain operational. I'm Charity Seebecker with the Midwest Farm Report, and Senator Joan Baldwin says the current delay in payments poses a threat to farm cash flow, increasing the risk of additional herd losses due to financial strain. She shares more about what she's doing to help.
What we've done in the legislature is with Representative Tranel and myself as the chairs of the agricultural committees in the two houses, we have circulated a letter asking other legislators to sign on who represent, especially those who represent a lot of agricultural areas, and send that off to Washington, D.C. as an encouragement, saying, well, we're watching you, we do need you, and let's get this moved on.
That was Senator Joan Baldwin. Legislators have until 4 p.m. today to sign onto the letter in support of Wisconsin agriculture. I'll have a look at your midday commodity markets right after this.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
We know you work hard every day to keep your livestock healthy and run an efficient operation because there's no such thing as a snow day. Take time this winter and consider BioVet, your trusted partner in helping you raise stronger, healthier animals and to protect your bottom line. The knowledge and support from our team can help you make the difference in keeping your livestock healthy. Call 1-800-BIOVET1 or visit bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Picture this, you in a company vehicle traveling across the picturesque landscapes of southern Wisconsin and northern Illinois. Your mission? To provide top-notch service and installations of milking equipment. Tri-County Dairy Supply is on the lookout for dynamic service technicians to join their teams in Janesville and Watertown. If you've got experience in farming, electrical work, plumbing, welding, refrigeration, or maintenance, send your resumes to tricountydairy@tds.net or apply in person in Janesville. Must have a valid driver's license. Don't miss this opportunity.
I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your Tuesday midday markets. From Chicago, cash corn is trading at 432 and a quarter, up 1¾. New crop corn is trading at 469 and three quarters, up a half. Cash soybeans are trading at 1190 and three quarters, that's down 2¼ cents. And new crop beans are trading at 1165 and a half, down 3¼ cents. March cash wheat is trading at 601 and a quarter, that's up 3¾. And July new crop wheat is trading at 599, down 1¼ cents. March Class 3 milk contract is trading at 1730, that's up 4 cents. And April milk is trading at 1753, down 3 cents. From the Midwest Farm Report, and Charity Seebecker.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. More clouds than sun today and a touch cooler as high temperatures only climb to the low 30s. We'll stay stuck under mostly cloudy skies tomorrow as highs spike to near 40. You'll love the warmth for Valentine's Day, but if you have late night plans, keep in mind snow moves in at night. It's 26 degrees at our studios.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
Yeah, freedom.
pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on a Fat Tuesday, February 13th, 2024, day before Valentine's Day. Trivia Olson, you have a significant other. Don't forget it's Valentine's Day tomorrow. Don't want you to be in the doghouse. See, for people like me, no, I'm single.
I'm leaving tomorrow morning at 6:30 a.m., Todd, to go to Vegas with my RF drinking buddies.
Yeah.
And they'll be my craps buddies out there too. We're really good at craps. After we get off the radio, doing the radio thing, I am going to the bank to get my bankroll, and then I'm going to get Valentine's Day gifts that I will lay out. Some chocolates, flowers. I'm going to hide them in the office.
Yeah, that's good. Your wife is a saint. You leave her on Valentine's to go gamble with the boys.
It's an invented holiday, for God's sakes.
You're just a Valentine all year round. You're just a nice guy all year round.
I can't. I have my three girls. The big one, she probably would be the least unhappy about me skipping Valentine's Day. She's European after all. So.
That's true. Yeah. Trevi Olson, myself, a former Republican, and is now the senior advisor for the Lincoln Project. Great organization. He joins us every Wednesday and making an exception to be here on a Tuesday since he will be traveling, as he said, tomorrow. Appreciate you being here, Trigby. Talking before the break about Ron Johnson making these comments that he believes that Vladimir Putin will not lose when it comes to Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Also, Tucker Carlson going there for a propaganda interview and the ramifications to the United States thereof. 844-967-2789. If you'd like to call in, ask Trigby a question. 844-967-2789. You could also text us on the Civic Media app. Let's go up to beautiful Green Bay. Of course, Trigby, also a part owner of the Green Bay Packers, like so many others. Steven in Green Bay, what's he?
I have a couple things to say. First of all, on Valentine's Day, if you need a holiday to get your significant other something, you have bigger issues in your relationship than Valentine's Day.
All right.
But secondly, on this whole, Ron Johnson, Tucker Carlson, Trump, I like to call them the Three Stooges when it comes to Russia, because they are completely being played by Vladimir Putin. If they think for one second that Vladimir Putin gives two iotas about them at all, they're absolutely, absolutely wrong. All they are keys into this country for him so he can do what he wants, and also so he can use our government to get into whatever country he wants. Mm-hmm. And they're too dumb to see that. So that's my opinion on that.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much, Stephen. Trigby, what say you?
I say this. If people want to understand Vladimir Putin and his Neanderthals that he has around them, you should spend some time going on Google and looking at images of what Vladimir Putin is indiscriminately doing to Ukrainian towns. They should read about the rape of Berlin in the 1930s or 40s when the Russian army got there, and the rapes that occurred in Ukraine. If Vladimir Putin were able to do that to your hometown, whether it be Sparta or Richland Center or La Crosse or Oshkosh or wherever Ron Johnson lives, loot it, pillage it, which is what their troops have done throughout history, he would be doing it.
Yeah, very well said. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go across the pond to London and Jay, one of our longtime listeners in London. Jay, thanks for calling in. What say you?
What say me? Mr. Trigby, how are you?
Jay, we had a nice little chat on Twitter.
indeed, sir, indeed. You made me cry when you came on Todd, so I was busy. I didn't call in. And I saw your explanation. I said, hey, I'm too emotional to call in. So I just come from work, so I'm not going to call and cry.
What have you got, Jay?
Hey, Trigby, are you kind of taking and then looking at what's name again? Montenegro, Moldova, and Georgia. His next step might be those three countries.
I think the Baltic states, Moldova. I mean, there's lots of places. Poland. There's lots of places that could be nervous. I mean, you know, I think right now, given what Ukraine, which is why Ukrainian aid is so important, Jay, what Ukraine has been doing to diminish Russian military capacity, and quite frankly, now that they've built an entire drone industry from the ground up that seems to be hitting Russian oil refineries and targets in Russia, the Russians are being diminished. But what you also have to understand is Vladimir Putin makes no bones about the fact that he has literally moved and transitioned the Russian economy to a wartime economy and has no plans of changing that back. They literally have bakeries now building drones. And eventually, Vladimir Putin is going to test us. He's going to test NATO. And the bottom line, or, you know, he's pursuing two strategies. One will be to test us, and the other will be to try and destroy NATO. He views this as payback for what happened, what he believes happened to the Soviet Union. And he's trying to reconstitute.
Yeah, he thinks America humiliated him.
Correct. And Russia, and he wants to humiliate the United States. And that has been probably his goal from the outset. And so, you know, and he's placed a big bet. And I'm shocked at what that the Republican Party, the party of Ronald Reagan,
I think I agree with J.B. Lutz, who said these people are anti-American patriot.
Well, it's amazing to me that the Republican Party's isolationist vein, and it has existed. I mean, Charles Lindbergh, if you go back and read about the America First movement, which is what these are people are advocating for, it did exist. I mean, there was a Nazi party rally that Lindbergh was at in Madison Square Garden in 1938-39. I never thought I would see the day where Lindsey Graham is telling the Polish prime minister he doesn't care what he says, because I sat through so many meetings where he was with John McCain craving acknowledgement of Lindsey Graham by those people that were elected officials in places like Poland. It's outrageous.
Thanks for the call, Jay. Have a great day over there. A great evening, I should say, across the pond over in London. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. A bit closer to home here in Wisconsin. Trinkby's dog is making a guest appearance on the show. This is fantastic. 844-967-2789. Jack in Merrimack. Jack, thanks for calling. We'll see you.
Well, first thing I want to say is that if we had the kind of strongman government that Carlson and Johnson are supporting, and they were doing something like this with an enemy, they would be up for treason. They'd probably have been shot by now. That's the kind of thing these guys are advocating.
Yeah.
Now, I heard in an interview with a Trump supporter a few days ago, and he said something like, if I wanted to live in a democracy, I wouldn't be voting for Trump. These guys, this is going to sound unkind, I guess, but these guys are brainwashed fools. They have absolutely no idea what they're asking for. I've been in countries that were a dictatorship at the time I was there. The former Soviet Union, an African country that had a president for life. Does that sound familiar, like what we're looking at?
Yeah.
Sounds like Zimbabwe.
It was actually Malawi at the time, but
Malawi would be another one, but yep.
Yep. And just to give you some concept, here are some of my experiences. First of all, when I flew into one of those places, there were full on military in the airports armed with Uzis. That was their security. I guess I'd worry a little bit about that if there were some kind of a security problem. Uzis aren't exactly known for precise targeting, shall we say. And in order to get in and out of the other one, despite fully authorized visas, luggage that didn't have any customs problems, we still had to pay bribes. Mm-hmm. When we were on the street sightseeing, we were suddenly jumped by a group of three people. They bumped in, pushed us around. They were trying to unzip our backpacks and get at the content. And we were able to push back, and they ran off with nothing. There were police in the area. And when I said to my local companions, in the local language, I was about to yell for the police. They just laughed, and they essentially said, good luck.
Wow.
This is the kind of government that doesn't do anything for its citizens. The only people that it does anything for is the leadership. They're out for themselves.
Right.
That's what we're looking at with this, with a proposed Republican/Trump/MAGA administration.
Jack, thanks so much for calling. Jack and Merrimack Twigby, we talk about this, and I think for people who don't have the world experience that Jack has or that you have, put it in context for your average Wisconsinite. These things that Jack's laying out, things that you've talked about, it's not hyperbole. I mean, you've seen this happen in other countries.
Yeah, I mean, Jack, as Jack was talking, I was thinking, you know, Jack experienced exactly what you do when you come to these countries, and what autocratic actors try and instill is fear. That fear that alters how you approach things, fear to say something that's gonna create you getting in trouble because you know you have no rights to say or do things. Mm-hmm. It's all about fear. Fear is the strategy of autocratic actors. And quite frankly, if you look at the Republican Party, and I would love to have the Shim Sham man, Mr. Brian, like, you know, I've known Brian for years, right? As have you. Mm-hmm. Laura Trump is being installed at the RNC.
Right.
Like, that's the kind of stuff that happens in an autocratic regime. And I haven't heard Brian say anything. Brian, why are you not speaking up about this? I don't recall Tommy Thompson placing Kelly or Tommy or Jason at the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Scott Walker might have wanted to place his son, but he was too busy going to the woke den of indoctrination that apparently is the University of Wisconsin. But, like, what do you say about that? Brian, speak up. Why don't you speak up? Are you afraid to speak up?
The silence is deafening. 844-967-2789.
Silence is the point, Todd.
Right. 844-967-2789. Never silent. Always a great opinion. We go up to Eau Claire, WCFW, The Tap, Jeannie in Eau Claire. Jean, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Hi, guys. Well, you know, I have to say the obstructionists and chaos causers are now today taking another vote to impeach Mayorkas again. So that's coming up a vote today. I couldn't believe it. First you don't succeed, keep on trying and wasting the taxpayers' money and don't get anything done. Thank you for taking my call, guys. Great show as usual. You have a good day.
Always appreciate it, Gene. Thank you so very much. I really appreciate it. This leads into, Trigby, we'll pick it up on the other side here. But speaking of this Mayorkas vote, the Secretary of Homeland Security, there was one vote already which failed. And one of the four Republicans that voted against impeachment was Mike Gallagher, Republican of the Green Bay area, the 8th Congressional District here in Wisconsin. Over the weekend, and applause to his PR team, by the way, if you wanted to bury a story, the Saturday afternoon before the Super Bowl is a good place to put it. He announced that he was not running again. What do you make of it?
My understanding is that no one really saw this coming. I mean, here's what I make of it. I think Mike is a good intentioned guy. He wants to work on solving real problems. And whether you agree with him politically or not, those are political disagreements. It's not ones over, you know, electors and all the rest of it. And I just think he's had enough. We're losing decent people on both sides, because why do you want to be a part of it?
We'll talk about what's next in the 8th Congressional District of Wisconsin. Take your phone calls as well. As our friend says, we see you on the line. Do not hang up. More on the other side. It's the Todd Oswald Show for a Fat Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North.
910 AM WBZH. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH and on the Civic Media app.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Always glad to have our guest, Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor to the Lincoln Project, on a special Tuesday edition instead of his normal Wednesday. We appreciate him moving his schedule around. Always gets to this point in the show where we have to kind of go the speed round and get through a lot of things quickly. Let's go to the phone. First of all, Mark from the SAC has been waiting for a while. Mark, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, it seems to me the insurrection continues, and part of this is all, you know, that you bring up Brian Schimming's name. I wonder what he had to do with the fake electors. But I saw today in the State Journal had a post from the New York Daily News, and they're questioning whether Trump, you know, had previously taken oath to the Constitution. Well, from my mind, he took an oath to the Constitution January 20th of 2017. So, I mean, that question, in fact, whether he took a previous oath is, at this point, he took an oath to the Constitution previously. So that whole trying to get it around that requirement of the 14th Amendment, Section 3, is just bewildering to me that somebody could actually posit that as a as an opinion that, and maybe with all the sophistry that's going on, well, Trump really, he was an officer of the United States. He never took an oath to support the Constitution. Can't support the Constitution other than the language that is there in the presidential oath. But then the baffling thing again you're talking today is the support of Russia for all these Republicans now is just boggles my mind. Just completely boggles me.
Because
decades ago that it is just baffling, as I said before.
Thanks, Mark. Always appreciate it. Mark from Prairie to Sack. Trigvi, you and I came up at the time of Reagan in particular. We talked about this yesterday on the show. I mean, he called the then Soviet Union the evil empire, stood at the Berlin Wall and said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. You know, what Trump is doing by attacking our NATO allies, inviting a Russia attack, by attacking Nikki Haley's husband, who is deployed on active duty in Africa. This isn't Reagan-esque. In my opinion, Trigvi, is treason-esque.
Well, you know, the contrast between Ronald Reagan, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, and there's an evil empire, and ads like a bear in the woods versus Mr. Putin, take what you want, is staggering.
Yeah.
I mean, that is what the Republican Party has become. And at the end of the day, you know, it's hilarious because one of their arguments is, well, these countries, you know, I'm trying to get them to pay, you know. First of all, NATO isn't an organization where there's any dues to be a part of it. It's an alliance. Now, a goal was set that began it began during the Bush years, quite frankly, in 2006. NATO started pressing that all countries, after the NATO expansion, my wife was at that NATO meeting, actually, with the president of Lithuania, they set a goal of getting to 2%. And there are countries that aren't at 2%. But they've all been trending in the right direction. Almost all of the countries that border Russia directly are above 2%. The Lithuanians, the Latvians, the Poles, the Finns, the Czechs. You know the one that isn't? Hungary. What's Hungary got in common with Donald Trump and the MAGA movement? Good friend Viktor Orban, who also does interviews with Tucker Carlson on a regular basis.
Surprise, surprise.
The reality is, yes, those countries need to pay more. And if we have anybody listening north of the border in Canada, you need to get your stuff in order to get, you're at like 1.4. You're near the bottom. The Canadians need to fix that. That said, is Donald Trump really encouraging Russia to attack Canada? And do you really think if Canada got attacked that we wouldn't do something about it? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Meanwhile, you have some of these guys like DeSantis who want to send troops into Mexico to, you know, hammer the cartels. Like, what is wrong with these people?
They've gone off the deep end, in my opinion. Speaking of that, I want to get quickly back to the 8th Congressional District in the Green Bay area, Upper Fox Valley, where Mike Gallagher, the congressman incumbent, has announced he's not seeking re-election after four terms. This kid, Alex Brusewitz, like all of 25, 26 years old, born in Ripon, Wisconsin, now is in Green Bay. He lists himself as the CEO of X Strategies, LLC, and Trump 2024. He is thinking about moving back to Wisconsin, Trigvy, and running in the 8th for Congress. Yesterday, Roger Stone, yes, that Roger Stone that was in Wisconsin not so long ago with Robin Voss trying to overturn the 2020 election, yesterday endorsed this guy and said that the entire MAGA movement will be there to support him. If this kid gets through, and I, yes or no, A, could he win the primary? B, if he does, I think the Democrats have a great shot at picking up that seat.
Yeah, can he win the primary? Sure. Any candidate that's getting Donald Trump's endorsement is an odds-on favorite to get through. But again, I mean, this is just ridiculous. If honestly, people in the 8th Congressional District have to just say to themselves, really, is this what we want representing us? You know, like this guy, you know how bad this guy is? He'll make Derek Van Odwin look like, you know, Henry Cannon. Sam Rayburn.
Right? Yeah. Icons, by the way, for those of you who don't know, in Congress. They have buildings literally named after them out in D.C. We've got about 2 minutes left. Pardon me, Tricky. About 2 minutes left here. And I guess, where do you want to go? You want to talk about Derek Van Odwin, as you say, voting against the or endorsing Trump, who is against the military? Or do you want to talk about the vote last night where the Ukraine and foreign aid got through, but probably isn't going to make it through the House?
Let's talk about this, Todd. So I get that right now is a time where a lot of thinking people, former Republicans like us, people on the left, are feeling uncertain. They're feeling worried. They're feeling scared. That's what these people want you to feel. They want you to be afraid. But the good news is, in the United States of America, at least through the 2024 elections, we can stand up and fight. And at the end of the day, you have a choice. And you actually have three choices. You can vote for Joe Biden, you can vote for Donald Trump, or you can choose, you can say, you know what, like, I'm not happy with either of them, I'm just going to skip voting. But if you do that, you're in all likelihood casting your vote for Donald Trump, and you're casting your vote against democracy, not just at home, but around the world. You're casting your vote for a very dark world. But the good news is we can stand up and fight, and we really have no other choice but to do so. And we can win. We're the majority. This is the thing. Most Americans don't want to live in a world that's like Vladimir Putin's.
Well said, Mr. Olson. Trigvy Olson, thank you so very much. We'll see you next Wednesday, my friend. Stay tuned for hour number two on the other side.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Tuesday on Nightlight, Rob Thomas from the Capital Times joins the show. Check us out in our new time slot from 7 to 9 p.m. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jim from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people that say, oh, man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.